Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 11, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn: we can translate words, not race. Young black American poet Amanda Gorman burst into the world consciousness when she recited her masterpiece work at the inauguration of US President Joe Biden. Instantly, her talent received high acclaim. But then the controversy began. A public counter-movement surrounding the translation of her poem into other languages argued that Gorman's writings should be translated by a black artist, not a white poet, which prompted a laureate Dutch writer assigned to the project to withdraw from it. A male Catalan translator was also considered not suitable for the job after finishing the commission. Has socio-political correctness gone one step too far? Not really. All the richness of expression of human society depends on our success in leaving all the flavors, colors, and shapes with the same sharpness and accuracy in which they were created, and without touching them, to only gently embed them into a mosaic. Therefore, the fight against racism should be on the condition that it does not come to mix everything into one sticky and colorless mash. Any work of literature, both in writing or translating it, is a great and complex task. It is important to maintain its strength, tone, and style, and is equally important to identify with the person's vision and know how to express it from its root. The argument that a white person cannot translate a black person is not necessarily racist. For instance, someone who is not close to the way of thinking of the author, his or her origin, culture, background, and way of life may err in the text's translation and miss the spirit of the writer. In a literary text, it is possible to identify every detail of the writer, where the person was born, his or her upbringing, and the environment where someone grew up. We can also spot who and what the person is, a man or a woman, one's beliefs or nationality. A literary work, even a musical one, reveals the conscience of the soul, the inwardness of the heart of the creative person. It is therefore not good to obscure this uniqueness, to dilute it from the original. Exchanged cultural background would dull it. Thus, it is important to be careful to maintain the uniqueness of the writer. All the richness of expression of human society depends on our success in leaving all the flavors, colors, and shapes with the same sharpness and accuracy in which they were created, and without touching them, to only gently embed them into a mosaic. Therefore, the fight against racism should be on the condition that it does not come to mix everything into one sticky and colorless mash. It is better not to fight racism directly, but to reinforce the value of unity among human beings. In Human Connection, we emphasize the differences and distinctions with all their might, but not against them, not in order to be proud and boastful, but only to open up, add color, the private nuance to the whole. And it is beautiful, like a rich painter's palette of hues. When a tendency to connect is ingrained in society, then automatically no superiority and inferiority is felt, neither for men nor women, not for old or young, not for colors or races. The supreme power, nature, created us, so different, not to use those differences for war, tensions, and separation, but to realize wholeness in the integration of all the diverse parts of creation. My new article on LinkedIn is The Real Happiness. When COVID-19 broke out early last year, most of us felt as though we'd lost our lives. More accurately, we didn't actually lose our lives, but we lost our ability to enjoy life. After all, if you can't vacation twice a year, go shopping whenever you want and wherever you want, go to the movies, restaurants, and amusement parks with the kids, on with a friend, pretending to be kids again, then what's to enjoy in life? Worse yet, when the virus made many of us, unemployed or sent us, on a prolonged furlough, we lost our financial security and became reluctant to spend on luxuries even when we could. Now that the vaccines are here and we can begin to resume these activities, it seems as though we're not sure how to enjoy them as much as we did. Something has changed in us. We're not sure what makes us happy anymore, and if there is real happiness altogether. The new pleasures, which we will soon begin to feel, will stem from the quality of our connections with others. The more we cultivate our ties with others, the more positive relations we build, the more joy will flow back to us, through the network that is already being built among us. Accordingly, the pleasure we will experience will be entirely different. It will be enjoyment from giving to others. But there is real happiness, and it is within anyone's reach. The past year has weaned us, if you will, from our past manners of enjoyment and prepared us for a new and higher kind. We may still not realize it, but now that we can start enjoying those past pleasures once again, we will see that they simply aren't as fun nor as satisfying as they once were. Even our jealousy of others seems to have changed. Of course, we'd still like to be rich, famous, and popular, but we are less willing to work hard for it. We haven't become lazy, we've simply grown up, and these goals seem, well, a little immature. These are all preparations. We may not feel it yet, but a new kind of pleasure is emerging in us. It is still beneath the surface, but its impact is already affecting us. It dims the previous pleasures, which is why they don't shine for us the way they did before. This new pleasure that is budding within us encompasses not only ourselves, but everyone around us. This is why it dims our self-centered pleasures. It is far more encompassing than anything we can currently imagine. Our society is changing because we are changing. We are feeling increasingly connected to each other and dependent on each other, and our society is likewise becoming more connected. The pleasures that come from such connectedness stem not only from me, but from my connections to others. This is why they are so potent compared to pleasures that stem from my own little minute circle. The new pleasures, which we will soon begin to feel, will stem from the quality of our connections with others. The more we cultivate our ties with others, the more positive relations we build, the more joy will flow back to us, through the network that is already being built among us. Accordingly, the pleasure we will experience will be entirely different. It will be enjoyment from giving to others. It will not be only we who will change. Our entire society is changing. Others will enjoy giving to us, as much as we will enjoy giving to them. It will be a complete inversion of the current mindset, where each person thinks of his or her own pleasure, and nothing else interests us. Instead, nothing will interest us, but the pleasures of others. But we will not be deficient in any way, since others will be interested in the same toward us, and we will enjoy both giving to others and receiving from them. It will be such a different society from today's that we cannot even imagine how satisfied and content we will feel when we establish it. Now our work is only to hurry its onset as much as we can. My new article on LinkedIn: Are the monarchies relevant in a modern world? In an era of unlimited media exposure, royal families from Europe and other parts of the world never fail to provide fuel for explosive scandals. And during times of global distress, the dramas of the monarchies provide the perfect escape for many, as the soaring ratings show. The accusation of racism within the British royal family in a widely publicized interview with Prince Harry and his wife is the most recent controversy to splash onto the scene and blot out the other monarchies around the world. Beyond the salacious details of such media frenzies, it is worthwhile to examine the significant role that royalty should contribute to stabilizing society. I expect the royal houses to succeed in these challenging times and rise in importance as the rulers of the present world descend. Because unlike the world leaders who rule today, those who are elected for a few years and do not mind leaving ruin at the end of their term, kings know that from the day they are born until the day they die, they are responsible for the state. Despite the sensational allegations against Buckingham Palace over the years, There is no institution more stable in Great Britain than the monarchy. Presumably, thanks to the charismatic white-haired woman who has represented the crown for so many years, the crown still stands on its own. Every man and woman, boy and girl associated with the British crown, whether in the UK, Canada, Australia or New Zealand, has a special attitude towards Queen Elizabeth. The scandals of other royal families have also hit the headlines recently. Investigations of corruption in the neighboring palaces in Belgium and Spain, massive street protests against laws prohibiting the insult of the King of Thailand, in the Middle East, a Saudi prince faces serious accusations of ordering the murder of a journalist in Turkey. Certainly, there are problems in every royal house in the world. Kings are not angels, and they should be accountable for their wrongdoings to the general public. But the yellow journalism of the media will not change the face of history no matter how many sordid details they themselves whip up and empower. Reporters stack scandal upon scandal for the sole purpose of climbing to a height where money and publicity can be gleaned. There is no sincere attempt to correct the distortions, but only a simple intention to profit from the dirty circuses they promote. Being a king or a prince is a true public assignment. They are responsible for going out to greet schools, to attend assemblies and national ceremonies. They act as a state symbol of the people. Similar to the kingdom of the upper nature, the kingdom of heaven, the dynasties of kings on earth are a permanent, stable, and unchanging factor which runs like a thread connecting periods of time and generations. A kingdom is like a material branch stemming from a spiritual root. In the same way a hierarchy in nature prevails, a royal monarchy can furnish a suitable form of government in human society. If all European countries today were ruled by kings instead of politicians, Europe would not be at a brink of collapse as it is now. Regardless of political upheavals between states and within the countries, the royal houses themselves remain connected to one another, maintaining relationships above all the other frictions. And here lies their importance also in a modern world. The royal houses form a kind of symbolic safety net in the connections between them that portrays balance and stability for the European continent that marches on a thin rope. Perceptive statesmen also understand this important function of royalty. Even Francisco Franco, ruler of a military dictatorship in Spain, after all was said and done, declared Juan Carlos as king, because he understood how the monarchy can work as a stabilizing force. What we see in the scandals before our eyes is not the collapse of the royal houses, not the end of an era as it is presented to be. On the contrary, they have great potential to help Europe to be more stable. It would be a benefit to the world if all the remaining royal houses, even the smallest ones, were preserved. The kings and queens are in a position to provide hope and examples of how to withstand the rising tide of the stormy modern sea. I expect the royal houses to succeed in these challenging times and rise in importance as the rulers of the present world descend. Because unlike the world leaders who rule today, those who are elected for a few years and do not mind leaving ruin at the end of their term, kings know that from the day they are born until the day they die, they are responsible for the state. Therefore, they should step up efforts to care for and connect to the people. At the end of the day, this is their mission, this is what hierarchy was established for, to be at the service of the masses to help ensure steady and strong societies. Michael Lateman, on Quora. Is it possible to exit this pandemic on a pathway to a more decent society? Don't do to others what you hate is the foundation of positive human attitudes. With this principle, we drive away any harm, and it is the best remedy that we can generate in human society, and with it, we will defeat the pandemic and return to become a good and prosperous society. We have reached a state where humanity has become a single globally interdependent and interconnected society, and one of the conditions of our global interdependence is that one person cannot enjoy a good life if others don't enjoy a good life to the same extent. We can thus better our world only by increasing our concern for each other. To that end, we need a new kind of education that prioritizes positive human connection, and which is taught to both adults and children. If we establish positive connections in society, then we will be on course to leave this pandemic behind, and enter a new harmonious life that is balanced with nature. The pandemic has emerged in order to pave a path to a new world of positive human connections. We should not look back at how things were, but focus on the upgrade in our attitudes to each other that we can implement here and now. That is the way to shift human society onto a much more positive path. The only question is whether we will listen to what nature is telling us, through such events as this pandemic and make adjustments accordingly, or whether we will try to continue our lives as before. The former will lead us to a new level of happiness and prosperity, and the latter will lead us to a long path of suffering until we eventually agree to change our attitudes to each other. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. The goals that choose us. Comment. In response to one of your videos, someone wrote, "In general, coming up with some kind of a global goal and then living up to it is self-deception." This is when you talked about the goal of life, about the big goal that must be set. We need to set only local, small goals, to make coffee so that it does not spill out, as usual to make your money last until your monthly salary, to lose 2 kilos of weight, to read a book, to memorize a poem. My response, absolutely right. Rejoice in these small, very small goals. You cannot raise your head higher, you cannot think about the future. And I feel controlled by the whole world. And that is why this control worries me. Question: I made myself some coffee, but I have a feeling that I can no longer be particularly happy about it. There is something so big in front of me. Answer: of course. Until I finish this cup of coffee, something may happen. What should I do? I am created this way. I have children, and I have to think about them. I have grandchildren, and I also want to think about them. This is a natural feeling of every person. These are not some artificial, made-up goals or concerns. They are inside me naturally, as in any person. How should I react to this? Do not bother me and let me finish my coffee. It will not work that way. If this bothers me, I will think about it. I want to know what kind of world my grandchildren will live in. They are already adults. They graduate from universities and go into the world. What kind of world? Question: is this called the big goal I am thinking about? Answer: of course. At the same time, I do not think about myself, I think about the generation in which my grandchildren will live. I want to take care of them as every person takes care of their offspring. I do not want to jump above this towards spiritual goals. I am ready to limit myself to this. Well, how can we not think about what will happen on Earth in 50 years? In 100 years? Where will humanity move? Comment: the taste of coffee immediately disappears when I suddenly start thinking about it, looking at the world. My response: yes, but we, humans, can build it. And we still need to worry about how we can provide for our children, grandchildren, and for all of humanity in general, a normal tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. Question: when exactly do you talk about the goal of life? Answer: this is the fate of a few people, imposed on them from above. I will put it this way: they are forced from above to think about the future, about the spiritual future, about the spiritual ascent of humanity. But this is still tied, among other things, to our earthly actions. So, we must connect one with the other. And we must connect them in our generation. And therefore, whether we wish or not, in our generation we must think about the inner motives of our actions. Question: that is, it is important for you that humanity reaches this good connection? Answer: without this, it will not be able to calmly drink coffee tomorrow. From Cab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, January 28, 2021. Where do people who have crossed the maxim exist? Question: how many people throughout history have crossed the maxim? Are there only a few, tens, or thousands of them? Answer: millions of people. However, we must understand that this is a process. Souls are not some blocks separated from each other, but rather, they are desires that constantly mix, change, and connect. That is, it is a complex integral system. Question: where do these millions exist? Answer: they exist outside of bodies, in desires. After all, the most important thing is desire. The body appears to us as existing in the same limited volume as our world. In fact, there is no material world. Only the spiritual world exists. Therefore, we need to move to the feeling of the spiritual world and make certain that it is the one that exists and not this world. Question: where do people exist after crossing the maxim, and what do there? Answer: they exist in their qualities. Everything that is outside of these qualities, all kinds of inanimate, vegetative, and animate matter — there is no human matter in our world, it is classified as animate — are perceived only in our earthly feelings. In reality, all this does not exist. Feelings change, and this world disappears. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, February 6, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora: what are the Ten Commandments given in the Bible? The Ten Commandments are the laws of our absolute connection to each other and with the force of bestowal that holds our connection together. The Torah is given at the foot of Mount Sinai, which is a gigantic mountain of egoistic hatred. Sinai comes from the word sinner, hatred, after the people of Israel, that is, people with a common desire, Yasharkel, straight to the Creator, accept the condition of mutual guarantee, to be united as one man with one heart. In other words, we reach a stage in our development where we discover a mountain of ego, division and hatred above us, and we can climb this mountain only with one point in the heart, that is, by uniting our common desire for spiritual ascent above all other egoistic desires. This point is called Moses, from the word Moshch, pulling, because it pulls us out of our ego. Mount Sinai is enormous, even bigger than the Tower of Babel. Standing at the foot of Mount Sinai means that we agree to unite all parts of our individual egos into one big mountain. Then, instead of fearing this great hatred and division between us, we should instead use it as an impetus to yearn for unity, since the sole purpose of being given an ego is so that we use it to fuel our unity. When we unite above this mountain of ego and hatred, we demand the revelation of the force of bestowal in our unification. The tendency to unite is the spiritual vessel, the deficiency for mutual love, bestowal and connection, as it is written, from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. We thus accept the condition of love your neighbor as yourself, and received the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments refer to the correct use of the desire to enjoy. They discuss the limitations that we need to implement on Malkut if we are to establish and sustain a spiritual connection. These limitations are called a screen, Masach, and reflected light, Ol Hazor. When Malkut accepts these limitations, it lets the Ten Sefirot, which are also known as the Ten Commandments, dress in it. A commandment, Dover, stems from the Hebrew root for utterance, Dibur, that is, it is born in the peh, mouth, of the Patsuf, the Pevrosh. These actions are performed in the world of Atzilut. We received the Ten Commandments after we unite as one man with one heart. Otherwise we cannot hear them. We have to be on the level of Bina in order to have the ear that can hear the Ten Utterances from Mount Sinai. In practice, this means that we need to first undergo a period of preparation until we can unite at the level of as one man with one heart, and only at that stage do we hear the commandments. If we are not at such a spiritual degree, we lack the vessels in order to understand and observe these commandments. based on the Daily Kabbalah lesson with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on June 3, 2014. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Toward absolute freedom. Question: how is independence expressed when the Israelis leave Egypt? From what do they become independent? Answer: so far they are only running away from Pharaoh, from their egoism. This is not yet gaining independence, but breaking away from slavery, and nothing more. There is a very long way from slave to master. Comment: let's say a country gains independence, just as the Poles became independent from Russia. My response: what is their independence? They are all dependent on each other. And most importantly, they are in bad dependence, because it is selfish. And if they begin to unite with each other in the properties of love and bestowal, then their dependence will be good, they will merge together. Then it will not be considered, as it is today, that they are linked by bonds of some kind. After all, if I know that you love me, then I am independent of you. I use your property of love as a property of my own independence, and you are mine. Then we are free, although the same connection exists between us. We use our egoism as a link that ties us all into a single net and manifests itself in an eerily obligatory state. We see that we cannot get away from each other, on one hand. On the other hand, when we rise above the ego and build the property of love and bestowal over it, we gain the third level, independence. The internal property of hatred, egoism, and the property of love, bestowal, create a third line in us, absolute freedom. Question: as a result, we gain independence from the Creator? Answer: first of all, from the Creator. Because the Creator is the only one who created this situation. So it is said, I created evil and gave the Torah to correct it. He is the first and only one. And I'm only secondary. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 6. A complex system of cognition. Question: all the primary sources that we study are written in Hebrew. They are translated into Russian, English, Spanish, and other languages. Is there any difference in the influence when you read the original source in Hebrew or in translation? Answer: the language of Kabbalah is very specific. The point is that here it is necessary to describe the world that we do not feel, to introduce a person to the sensations of this world, to arouse in him certain reactions, tastes, rumors, and so on. It is necessary to adjust it so that it begins to feel those vibrations that an ordinary person does not feel. Therefore, there is a certain complexity here, which is not easily overcome. A person's preparation for sensing the upper world has been going on for many years. Not all people are able to try to comprehend the higher world, since this comprehension is emotional and at the same time analyzed by the conceptual apparatus. So, this is a very complex system of knowledge that requires serious books and, most importantly, primary sources. From Cab TV's Questions About Kabbalistic Books, October 22, 2019. Human nature, the urge to acquire. Question: researchers argue that such a concept as materialism, which is characteristic of both the rich and the poor, means people's addiction to things. The social image and value system created by this addiction is destructive for both society and the individual. Whoever succumbs to this loses the joy of life, peace of mind, brings anxiety, depression, and the collapse of relationships. Nevertheless, in the past year of the crown, coronavirus, people began to demonstrate less materialism. But, on the other hand, now it is already clear that this is the reverse side of the same coin. Why do people love things so much? Answer: man is an egoist. He loves to acquire and feel that it is his, mine, mine, mine. We see this in the example of small children, when they grab a toy and do not give it to anyone else. Even if you convince him that this is not appropriate, the child does not understand. He always wants it to be in his hands. That is how he is born. Therefore, we cannot condemn people for the fact that they have such a craving for acquiring everything they like. I want this to be mine. Or even something that he doesn't like, but the other likes it. Obviously, this is good, he also wants to have it. Moreover, he wants to have this thing himself, while the other child should not have it, and if this is not possible, then no one should have it. That is, this is absolute selfishness, childish and petty that accompanies us, all years of our life. You can't get away from it. How can you balance it? Only with the right upbringing. But for this it is necessary to build a system that will work on people and educate them in such a way that they are satisfied with what they have, even in comparison with others. In general, this must be a special education system, otherwise, we will never get rid of materialism. Question: in essence, materialism is the decoration of oneself. A person decorates himself with something extra. What should replace materialism, or will it go away over time? Answer: I think it will. Instead, a more internal decoration will prevail, the attitude of a person toward others, the attitude of others toward him, but not the replacement of some things with other things. As a result, a person must come to the understanding that his greatest acquisition is his love for his neighbor as for himself, and even, perhaps, more than himself. This is a completely different ascent of man over his little egoistic nature. I hope that under the influence of correct upbringing, one will gradually cancel the other. From CAB TV's Kabbalah Express, February 16, 2021. Teacher and students, writing articles. Comment: you often give students different advice, for example, to write articles. But there are such states when a person does not have the heart to write, thoughts completely disappear. There is a feeling of great regret that the teacher's covenant cannot be fulfilled. My response: I myself have not written for a long time. There is Facebook, Twitter, several sources where you can write. Basically, I sometimes tweet little bullets for my students. On the same day, they are translated into different languages, and people read them. They are based on the material from the past lesson or what is happening in the world or on the topic of the next lesson planned for tomorrow. Sometimes I get up at 12 a.m. and I can fill up Twitter before class, sometimes I do it during the day. I believe that what I write there is very important, and I am glad that there is such an opportunity where it is limited and you sit and calculate, you really calculate, so that each word has its own weight, and the message does not go beyond the allowed amount of letters. And I don't write articles. I do not even slander a detailed article, but I give my ideas to people who have such abilities. And they are the ones who write mainly in four languages: English, Spanish, Russian, and Hebrew. Therefore, if you come across current articles somewhere, signed by Michael Leitman, then these are my ideas expressed by my students. Question: are they not getting distortions from this? Answer: no. I know and clearly control those who write, and therefore, I speak so calmly about it. You can take these articles as absolutely mine. Question: but Twitter is personal instruction? Answer: yes. This is me personally. From CAB TV's Teacher, Student, February 7, 2019.